open the Bible, your Bible with us, please, in the book of Philippians and the third chapter. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Savior and Redeemer. And we thank thee for redemption ground, the ground of peace. We thank thee for salvation through the blood of Christ. We thank thee for those that can say they're trusting in Jesus. And we bless thee that they're redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. We pray for everyone, anyone this morning that's in this service that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt speak to them, that thou wilt show them our God, their lost estate before thee, a righteous and a holy God. And grant that even this morning that they lay aside all other hopes and all other pleas and turn and run to Christ alone for salvation. We thank thee for thy great salvation, which is so rich and yet so wonderfully free. And we pray that today that there might be poor, lost, guilty sinners that might claim the Savior this morning as their own and personal Savior, my Lord, my Savior, my friend. Oh God, answer prayer and bless us now as we meditate upon thy word. Open up the scriptures to us. Help us, our God, to have a faithful study of thy word and exposition of thy truth. And we pray that in all things the name of the Lord Jesus might be exalted and glorified. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Every one of us this morning are headed to eternity. Every one of us realize that as we gather in God's house, this world is not our home. And even the announcements this morning remind us of the frailty of our bodies, the reality of death, the certainty of God's eternity. And yet, whilst it's true that every one of us realize we must leave the scene of time and go out to meet God, yet it's amazing the things that people hold on to as regards what they hope to do them good for eternity. Of course, the wee chorus says, no, you can't get to heaven without salvation. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. You know, the devil's very crafty in getting men and women to rely upon different things and rather than thinking about the salvation of their soul and their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to this passage of God's Word, we'll find that there were things that in Paul's life, once he had as his refuge, or he built his religious knowledge upon. And yet he found out on that Damascus road that all of these things were of no account, that all of these things were of no avail when he came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus road. Thank God he met the Lord in the Damascus road and he didn't wait until he met God at the judgment throne. And friend, it's so important today that you realize that you better meet the Lord now. You better receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior in this world, because in the next you will truly meet God, because the Word of God says, prepare to meet thy God. In the opening verses of chapter 3, Paul challenges the Judaizers who argued that circumcision and law-keeping were essential things to the salvation of the soul. And now, as he has done that in the opening couple of verses or three verses, we find that Paul will turn to and sets before us the things that in his unconverted days, the things that he had put his confidence in, the things that he trusted in, and he uses his personal knowledge and his personal experience in his life to silence the dangers and the unscriptural views that were being taught in Philippi. And of course, we live in a day and an age when there are unscriptural views and unbiblical views that are being taught even in our own land and in our own district. You see, Paul outlines for us his religious pedigree, the things that he could boast of. And yet notice what he says in the end of verse 3. He says this, and have no confidence in the flesh. You see, he says he rejoices in Christ Jesus. He worships God in the Spirit. He rejoices in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. His birth advantages, his human efforts, will not be able to satisfy a righteous and a holy God. And what Paul is reminding you and I, as he did the church at Philippi, with all of these things that he could boast of, yet he was like everyone else. For the Word of God says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. No man can ever do enough works to merit salvation or to earn salvation, because salvation, as Paul points out here, is certainly truly a work of God. And friend, it cannot be received because of your merits. But thank God it can be received through the merits of the finished work and that once for all complete sacrifice of Jesus Christ on your behalf and my behalf upon that cross of Calvary. For neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Listen, if a man could be saved because of his works, his religious works, if a man could be saved because of his human pedigree, then, my friend, Paul says, listen, I more. Look at verse number 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he says, I more. And I want us to notice three things this morning as we turn to this passage of God's Word, and may the Spirit of God open our eyes to these three things. First of all, I want us to think about Paul's credentials. And then secondly, I want us to think about Paul's calculations. And then finally, I want us to notice Paul's choice. And what we want to do is to take what is before us this morning and just look at exactly what Paul is saying concerning what he once relied upon, and yet he found out there was no good for eternity. And I trust, my friend, if you're not saved this morning, and if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't care what you're relying upon. It will not avail anything for eternity. It will not get you through the pearly gates of heaven. You need salvation through Christ and through Christ alone and that redeeming blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. Now let's look at the first of these, Paul's credentials. What are these credentials that Paul says? Listen, if you want to boast in your credentials, he says, I could boast more. What were these credentials that Paul was glorying in his unconverted days? The first thing I want you to notice, his rituals. His ritual. Look at verse number 5. He said this, circumcised the 8th day. And here we see a ritual that we read this morning about in the book of Genesis chapter 17. It was a ritual that God told to Abraham that every man child in his house and one was bought by his money in his house, that every man child had got to be circumcised. And so we find the first thing that he speaks about is he emphasizes that he was circumcised in exact compliance to the law of God. You see, the law required that circumcision should be performed on the 8th day. And that's what it says in verse 5. He said, circumcised the 8th day. In other words, his parents were strict in the ritual that they carried out. He was circumcised the day that God had said, and it has been emphasized that this 8th day, the 8th day. If you turn away back into the book of Leviticus, in the chapter number 12, in verse 1, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation. For her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. So, in accordance to the Mosaic law, in accordance to the word that God gave unto Abraham when he changed his name from Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah, we find that God entered into a covenant with Abraham. And here was the sign of that covenant that God said that he had entered in with him. Now notice if you say that's the Old Testament. But let's turn to the book of Luke's Gospel. And you come to chapter 1. And you'll find that this was religiously carried out. This ritual was religiously carried out. For example, look at Luke chapter 1. Go to verse number 58. And it says, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy unto her, that's unto Elizabeth, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And that was the day that Zacharias' tongue was loosed, and he said, no, his name's not called Zacharias. He said, his name's John. It was on the 8th day. It was on the 8th day. And so we find in the New Testament, John the Baptist was circumcised on the 8th day. But what about the Savior? Turn to chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel. And when you come to chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel, and you go to the verse number 20, it says this, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as were told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Notice the circumcision day. Abram's name was turned from Abram to Abraham. It was in the day of John the Baptist's circumcision that his name was given John. It was on the day, indeed, before the people here. In verse 21 of chapter 2, it mentions that the Lord Jesus was circumcised, and it says this, his name was called Jesus. His name was called Jesus. You see, this was an important ritual. It was a very important ritual to the Jewish people. And you see, Paul didn't come into Judaism as a Gentile proselyte, but he was a very loyal Jew. He practiced the sacred rites of circumcision on the 8th day, and every loyal Jew did likewise. There was only one reason that a Jewish lad was not circumcised on the 8th day, and that was if there was sickness, etc. If there was sickness, then certainly the child wouldn't be circumcised. A proselyte wasn't circumcised on the eighth day. A proselyte was circumcised in adult age. You had to be, you were an adult whenever you were circumcised as a proselyte. But it was a ritual that every Jew was proud of. It was not only a ceremonial cleansing, it was making him an heir of the covenant, denoting him that he was in that covenant relationship. The Ishmaelites, however, was different. You'll find that the Ishmaelites were not circumcised on the eighth day. They were circumcised on the 13th year. Say, well, where does that come from? It comes, remember, Ishmael, we read in that chapter 17 of the book of Genesis, we find that Ishmael was 13 whenever he was circumcised. And so the Ishmaelites were circumcised on the 13th day. The Israelites were circumcised, or rather the 13th year. But the Israelites were circumcised on the 8th day. And so Paul is looking at his credentials here. He had complied with and had the advantages of what that ritual stood for. He was a pure-blooded Jew. He was born a Jew. You say, what relevance is that to us this morning? Let me tell you, my friend, how relevant it is. There are people today in Ulster and across this world, and if you were to ask them their hope of heaven, they will tell you, I was baptized as a child. They have gone through their rituals. And having gone through their rituals, that somehow they think that that is their passport to heaven. And they're holding on to that. They're holding on to that. And they believe that the way they're getting into heaven was because some preacher dropped a few drops of water upon their head as a baby. Somehow that changed their destiny and changed their character and changed their lost estate before God. Why? Because many of them are told that whenever they're baptized, it makes them a child of God, an heir of the kingdom, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Friend, it does nothing of the sort. If you're relying on your baptism to get you into heaven, friend, you're a blooded, full-blooded candidate for hell. Your baptism will not take you into heaven. Your baptism of itself will only take you into hell. You need something more than that. His credentials was this. He was proud of his rituals, and he could hold them up and say, listen, if you want to boast in things, I can boast in more. Why? I was circumcised the eighth day. I'm a pure-blooded Jew. I'm one in the covenant relationship with the family and the covenant relation with Jehovah. But look further, not only his ritual. Notice the second thing he says, because every one of these things means something. Notice his relationship, because this is the second one. He could boast not only his ritual, he could boast in his relationships. He says, I am of the stock of Israel. I'm of the stock of Israel. My friend, let me tell you, it is true. Paul had an amazing ancestry. If you wanted to go into ancestry, this was something that he could be proud of. I know that we live now in a day where people like to look into their ancestors or into their ancestry. I don't know whether you've Googled it and tried to find out just exactly. And maybe you went so far and you thought yourself it's better to go no further. You found something that perhaps you just didn't want to find. You didn't find that they were kings. You found they probably were thieves or something else away back, away generations back. And so you said, no, 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 I'll not go any further. Let me tell you, my friend, Paul could go back to his ancestors. And as he thought about his ancestry, he could trace his ancestry right back to the patriarch Jacob or Israel. He had the genealogy of a real Jew. Of a real Jew. You see, there it says, of the stock of Israel. It means origin. Origin. Stock speaks of origin. I mentioned a few moments ago the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites could trace their descent to Abraham For Ishmael was Abraham's son by Hagar. The Edomites, they could trace their descent back to Abraham, for Esau was the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. But the Israelites, they could trace their descent to Abraham through Jacob, the one whom God called Israel. Israel. He says, thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, which Jacob meant twister. He said, thy name shall be called Israel, for thou art a prince with God. And friend, that's exactly where Paul could trace his relationship to. You know, to a Jew, a pedigree like that meant an awful lot. He wasn't a convert to Judaism, but he was a descendant of the man to whom God said, if you turn back to Genesis chapter 32 and verse number 28, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. What a pedigree. What a genealogy. What a relationship that he could claim. You say, well, what has that to do with us today, friend? Let me tell you this. Whilst Paul could boast in having royal blood in him, I want to tell you something. It's not the blood of an ancestor that saves a soul from sin. No matter how honored that person might be, as far as the world's concerned, it's only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that saves our souls from sin. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse, yea, keeps on cleansing from all sin. John chapter 1. Verse number 12, it says, as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And friend, that's what's so important. Yes, Paul could boast about his relationships, but the grace of God, friend, doesn't flow through human veins. The only true relationship that you and I can have is through the new birth. For except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Do you remember what the young man down that road, one day, that dusty road, came running to Jesus and he asked him, he said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Friend, let me tell you this. It's not the inheritance. It's nothing that man can do. But praise God, it is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, he could boast in his, and he did in the past. He could rely on, and he did in the past, in his unconverted days, on his ritual. He also relied upon his relationship. He was of the stock of Israel. But notice thirdly, his respectability. Notice what he says next. He says, I am of the tribe. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. What was he boasting of there, friend? You see, Paul was not an Israelite, was not only an Israelite, but in reality, he belonged to the elite of Israel. You see, Benjamin was the son, the special son of Jacob and Rachel. He was a very special son, and I'll tell you why, friend, because it was through his birth that his mother died. And when his mother was dying, was about to give up her last breath, she called out his name. She said, Benoni. Benoni. You're the son of my sorrow. The old man turned and he looked at his son, and Jacob said, your mother called you Benoni, the son of my sorrow, but you're Benjamin. I will call you Benjamin because you're the son of my right hand. The son of my right hand. Benjamin was the tribe from which the first king of Israel came. It's interesting because that's where Paul got his name. Because before God saved him, he was Saul of Tarsus. Who did he get it from? The first king of Israel, Saul. And who was Saul? He was of the tribe of Benjamin. Something else about the tribe of Benjamin is this. Listen, Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin was known for its unwavering loyalty. It was the loyal tribe. When others turned away from the throne of David, do you remember the 10 tribes they left? And they formed themselves. And there was only Judah that was left, but alongside Judah there of the throne of David, because the house of Judah was the divinely appointed kingly line. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 21. And when everybody else had gone, when everybody else had followed after Jeroboam, we find that there was Benjamin. Benjamin loyally stood by the tribe that God had denoted as the kingly tribe. In spite of all the hardships and all the hardness that Rehoboam brought upon the people, they loyally followed God's choice. And Benjamin was respected for his allegiance at a time when the majority were disloyal. He said, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. That was something special, friend. I'll tell you why also. It was the tribe of Benjamin that had the place of honor in Israel's battle line. For the battle cry of Israel was, after thee, O Benjamin. It had a special place. Benjamin was the only patriarch to be born in the land of promise. Paul wasn't from one of the revolting tribes. No, he was the loyal tribe of Benjamin, the elite tribe. Something else about Benjamin. Because it was the tribe of Benjamin that was located near the temple. And you say, well, what has that to do with us today, friend? A lot to do with it. Because you see, there's some people think that if they're connected with the church, and if they keep close to the church, that somehow that's going to get them to heaven. Now, we thank God, and I do that with all my heart, and I mean it, friend. I thank God for everyone who faithfully comes to this church, this house of God, that God has set upon this hill. But I say honestly before God, friend, you could be a free Presbyterian by denomination, and if you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're lost just like everyone else. And you wouldn't religiously associate with those of falsehood, but friend, let me tell you, and I say this lovingly and tenderly, and there's no easy way to say it, but you'll go to hell with them. And you'll associate with every falsehood and every man and every woman and every person that knelt down at the altars of falsehood. And you'll go out into eternity. Be lost forever. You see, Paul was from the respected tribe. The flesh would be proud of that. But here's the lesson there for you. Respectability or closeness to the church will never take you through the pearly gates. And Paul found that out. Do you realize that this morning? That no church can save you. It's only Christ. But very quickly, let's look on here. He says, I'm circumcised the eighth day. Yes, that's the rituals. And then he said, I'm of the stock of Israel. And that was his relationship. And then he said, I am of the tribe of Benjamin. That's my respectability. But then he said this. He says, I am an Hebrew of the Hebrews. That's his race. He's now boasting in his race. He is an Hebrew of the Hebrews. You see, throughout history, Jews had been dispersed across the known world. And the truth was this, that there were those, when they were dispersed across the world, friend, many of them forgot their Hebrew background, their upbringing. Many of them forgot their Hebrew language. Many of them forgot their Hebrew customs. And what they did was this, they adopted the language or the customs or the culture of the people that they lived among. But as in Hebrew, Paul could say, I am an Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was proud of his race, and no matter where he went, friend, they would never take that away from him. He would not become as one of them. He was an Hebrew of the Hebrews. For example, the Hebrews never mingled with Gentile blood in their family. And Paul's father and mother, they were pure Jews. Though they lived in Tarsus, he was called Paul of Tarsus. He received his education there, yet he never departed from his Hebrew tradition. You remember Daniel? And Daniel was taken away into Babylon, friend. And they tried to make Daniel a Babylonian. They tried to change his name. They tried to change his culture. They tried to change his language and all of these things. But let me tell you, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He would remain true to God. You see, the Hellenistic Jews, they conformed to the Greek language and to the Greek customs. Paul said, listen, no. I am an Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm proud of my heritage. And before his conversion, friend, he was so proud of his race that he was embittered against those who were not Jews or those who were in Christ. Do you know what Paul found out? He found out he was lost. Now, we are very proud, at least I am, a proud Ulster man. And I'm very proud of my British heritage. But friend, that will never take me to heaven. Not take you there either. And there are people who would lay down their lives for their country. And they'd be proud of it. And friend, they don't realize this, that if they give their life for their country without Christ, they go to a Christless eternity. Now, it is sad to say that there are many people who have been brought up in truth and be brought up with the gospel. And friend, they go out into the world and they forget all their upbringing and they forget the teaching of God's word. And that's sad to me. Although I have a verse to hold on to, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. And it's important for us to teach the children at their earliest days the great truths of the Word of God, friend. He was so proud of his race. He says, I am an Hebrew of the Hebrews. And then he said this, as touching the law, a Pharisee. And now he's coming to his religion. His religion. You see, Paul was not just an Israelite. He was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were a Jewish sect. And looking at that, I'm told that there were never more than 6,000 Pharisees. So it put Paul in a very elite class. He said, as touching the law, I am a Pharisee. Pharisee means the separated ones. The separated ones. They separated themselves from certain people as well as from a common life or common tasks for the purpose of learning and keeping the law. And as far as Paul was concerned, friend, he devoted his life to knowing and keeping the law. He had given up much of normal life to live a strict and religious life. You see, the Pharisees were one of the strictest sects among the Jews. They endeavored to guard the law from the possibility of violation by placing around it a vast body of tradition. And then they regarded that tradition as equally binding with the written law. Now, we know when we read the scriptures, there was a certain arrogance with those religious people. There was a certain pride and a contempt for others. But let us, whilst that is true in many ways, let us remember this, that the Pharisees stood for a morality of the highest and strictest kind. And when others flagrantly violated the law, the Pharisees manifest careful and maintain careful obedience to it. They held the word of God and the traditions of the elders in high esteem. Paul was proud of his religious credentials. Look at Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23 and the verse number 6. And when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead. I am called in question. Turn to chapter 26. And in chapter 26 of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first amongst mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. He was so sincere in his religion, friend, but listen. He was sincerely wrong. And maybe you're here in the service this morning, friend, and you are religious. You try to do the best you can. You try to live by the Ten Commandments as best you can. And maybe there's someone here and thinks that somehow, some way, in the end of the day, God will look upon my good works. and my religious doings as best as I could attain, and surely God would open the door of heaven and let me into heaven at the end of the journey. Friend, let me tell you, you may be religious today, but you're lost. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." It can't be any clearer, can it? Religion of itself, no matter how sincere you are, friend, will never take you through the pearly gates. You see, he was proud of all of these things, and yet he was lost. Time's away this morning. Please remember the words that Jesus said to that Pharisee one night. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except you're born again, friend, of the Spirit of God, born of God, your natural birth made you a sinner, but thank God the new birth will make you a child of God. For as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He said, yes, if you want to boast about these things, I'm more. But he learned, he said, all those things I count but dung, that I might know him. Oh, that you might know him today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt open the eyes of everyone that has heard thy word this day. And show them today, our God, our Heavenly Father, that except Christ is our Savior, then outside of Christ there is no hope. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Oh, may precious souls come to Christ today and be saved for Jesus' sake.